Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
My name is Kevin.
And I'm Oslam, and on Pets Allowed today we talk mental health.
So have you ever gone through a rough patch in your life, or maybe just had an off day, and realised on reflection how much of a positive role that your pet actually played in helping you feel better?
A range of research shows that contact with animals can improve our well-being and state of mental health. A publication put together by Beyond Blue and Deakin University in 2010 found that caring for and having contact with pets encouraged owners to spend more time outdoors, to socialise, and their lives were more enriched and enhanced as a result.
So this week is Mental Health Week, and also Wednesday was World Mental Health Day. So whilst we're exploring this interesting relationship between pets and your mental health, we also have to keep the animals in mind. So we want to highlight the importance of the welfare of your pets, and also discussing ways to return the favour to maintain a happy and healthy pet.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
So coming up on Pets Allowed today, we have Margaret Cannington.
Margaret Cannington's from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. She drops in to talk about mental health in the GLBTIQ community and the positive role pets play in helping people through depression and anxiety.
We're also going to be discussing with our regular Lost Dogs Home guests, Kate Holter and Dr. Alan Bolton, about how to identify if your pet is feeling blue and how to combat backyard boredom.
Last week we received some really interesting questions Alan will tackle in his Q&A segment later in the program.
Yeah, we will preview the upcoming dog-friendly events in Dog Dates.
And at the tail end of the program, we draw the curtains open on our Pet of the Week.
Miss your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
So coming up, we'll bring you this week's news with the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to reflect on the news and events of last week. I have here Oz and Kate. What were some of the highlights this week?
Well, we're starting off with a bit of a sad story, actually. 36 puppies were recovered from two cars in Dublin as part of an animal cruelty investigation. 25 Jack Russells and a number of Cocker Spaniels, Springer Spaniels, Terriers, Beagles and Labradors were discovered when police stopped two cars. Basically, the officers from the Dublin Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals put these animals in quarantine. So it's given them a chance to obviously sort of investigate and see where these puppies are coming from. So that was, quite a sad story, but good that they were found. Also, we had an update on one of our former residents, let's say, Chloe.
She actually went through our behaviour rehabilitation program, and she was actually my foster dog. She was the very first dog that I fostered. So she was very shy. She's a little English Staffy mix, and she didn't really know what human affection was or anything like that. So we put her into a behaviour rehabilitation. She worked with us for about 6 weeks. So she spent time with trainers, volunteers, animal attendants, veterinary staff. Quite a lot of our team actually, looked at helping Chloe. And part of what she did with me was come home to spend time in a home. Her and my beagle got along like a house on fire, which was great. Chloe actually got adopted really quickly. So she was only in adoptions for a couple of days, and she actually lives locally to the Lost Dogs Home now. So I actually saw her at the park the other day when I was walking past. So
looking
that was
happy.
Great. Yeah, she's looking great. She's actually got a dog that she lives with now, and they're best
Perfect.
Friends. Mm. And Kate, I believe we have an update on Bess, who we talked about last week, the little poodle.
Mm. Well, she's actually a standard poodle.
And she's a big poodle.
She's a big poodle, yeah. She came in with a really overgrown coat. She's a young dog, and it looked like she'd never been groomed in her life before. So someone had taken on Bess, probably as a puppy, not fully understanding the responsibilities of a poodle's coat and the regular clipping that's required and the cost of that as well. But I often take adoption photos at the home, and I was very fortunate to meet Bess's new owners. I was there in the adoption room when they were adopting her, and they were so excited. And she's going to a lovely home. She's got a teenage owner called Lachlan, who's been looking for his own dog for a while, and they've already emailed us back to say that Bess and Lachlan are well bonded. And even Harry, their current dog, is accepting Bess. And I think she's sleeping on the bed and looking forward to Lachlan coming home. So all's good there. And it's a really lovely, responsible home there.
And speaking of sleeping on the bed.
Yeah, there was a research study that came out this week that showed that of the participants, 22% said that they only slept alone. So the remaining actually slept with their pets. This seems to be quite a common common experience. People love sharing their bed with their furry friends. Kate, are you one of these people?
I have to admit I am, yes. I've got the three dogs. My chihuahua is sleeps with my teenage son every night, and they have a lovely routine where he knows when Sebastian's going to bed and he trots on after him. He sleeps under the doona too, not on top, under the doona. And yes, my two, Tess and Molly, sleep on my bed as well.
All right, well, that is the news of the week from around the Lost Dogs Home. Don't forget, you can check out more Lost Dogs Home news at dogshome.com.
Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
You're on Joy 94.9 and this is Pets Allowed. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Oslem, and throughout today's program, we're looking at mental health and pet ownership. Later in the program, we'll be discussing how to look out for the mental well-being of your pet.
So right now, though, we're going to explore the positive impact that pet ownership has on our mental health, and particularly those of us within the GLBTIQ community.
The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is a free telephone counselling service that takes around 1,000 calls per year from those within the GLBTI community on a range of issues, including concerns around depression and anxiety.
So joining us in the studio today to talk about these issues and how pets have helped people in the GLBTI community, Q community, pull through tough times is Margaret Cannington, a spokesperson for the Switchboard. Also joining us is Lost Dogs Home Senior Veterinarian Dr. Alan Bolton. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in, Margaret. We really appreciate it. So firstly, can you tell us a little bit about the Switchboard itself?
Yeah, sure. Look, as you said in the intro, it's a free, anonymous and confidential service, and something that I think is a key aspect that we'll talk about a bit more probably later in this program is that it's a peer-based service, which means that everyone who, all the counsellors that you might speak to on the service actually identify as GLBTI themselves. So you know that when you call through, you're going to be speaking to a member of the community.
Oh, that's I didn't actually know that. So that's great, because I mean, you've got that personal experience. Now, how long have you been volunteering at the Switchboard for?
Yeah, sure. I've been with Switchboard in various capacities for about 5 years now. So been around the traps for a while, and really enjoy the work, and it's a really great organisation to be a part of. So
we heard that the Switchboard takes in about 1,000 calls per year. What sort of calls do you receive?
Look, it's a whole range of calls, really. It can range from some people that are just ringing up for a chat, you know, someone to connect in with, to what I guess people, you know, to the more serious matters. Mm-hmm. So people who are thinking about suicide or generally finding life really tough at the moment. So a whole range of matters, and we don't limit the age range either. So we've had callers, you know, as young as 14, 15, still at school, to, you know, in their 80s and beyond.
Do you find, especially with the younger callers, is it more about the feeling of sort of isolation with coming out and everything like that, or is it just that they need someone to talk to and they don't really have that person?
Sure, look, you touched on a really key word there, actually, which is isolation, and that's an issue not just for the younger callers, although that's definitely there, but it's also basically all, I won't say all our callers, but a lot of our callers are dealing with isolation in some way or another. So it's a really big factor.
So I know I've had personal experience with this, and it's definitely been somewhere when I've been growing up that my pets have actually been the ones to help me through. And Alan, I believe you're quite the same, aren't you?
Well, yes, I grew up in the west, in the northwest of Ireland in the 70s and 80s, and it really wasn't a very gay-friendly place then. The troubles were going on. There was lots of violence, and my dogs and my horse helped me through a really difficult time, and made my life a lot less isolated, and brought me through and got me where I am today.
How do you assist people who might call up and have those sort of issues with depression, anxiety? What kind of things do you do? What does the Switchboard actually do with that?
Sure. Look, a lot of the time, so coming back to the fact that Switchboard is a peer-based service, sometimes it can just be that we're actually a normal voice, if you know what I mean. So we're not actually going to treat people as a patient or a client. We treat them as a person. And so when you're coming back to that idea of isolation, when you're feeling isolated, you feel like there's no one you can talk to. often our counsellors at Switchboard are the first person that people feel that they can actually speak to about some of the issues, particularly around their sexuality, that's going on for them.
Yeah, it's really great to actually have that service there as well. And as you said, yeah, having that normal voice, because I remember when I was growing up, you didn't really have anyone that I could talk to. Mm. So, yeah, it's good to hear that there is actually that around. Now, we do want to hear from you guys as well, so make sure you email us onair@joy.org.au, give us an SMS 0427 JOY 949, or phone 1300 JOY 949. Have you spoken to someone at the Switchboard, or how have your pets helped you through a tough time as well? So this is Pets Allowed. We're currently talking about mental health and pet ownership in the GLBTIQ community with Margaret Cannington from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
If you think you need to speak with someone, please call Lifeline, the 24-hour crisis support service, on 13 11 14 13 11 14. If you think you have a medical emergency, please contact your GP or call 000. For more information on Depression Beyond Blue, is a service that you can get that information from. Their number is 1300 224 636. And at this point, I think we should also mention the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard number, which is 9663 2939.
Now, if I could add in there, we've also got a 1800 number, which is excellent, for regional or Tasmania. So 1800 184 527 as well.
That's great. And I mean, the Switchboard does run at different times throughout the day, generally in the evenings, isn't it?
It is in the evenings, yeah. So we run 6 to 10 on weekdays, 6 to 9 on weekends, and extended hours 2 to 10 on Wednesdays.
So you can visit www.switchboard.org.au to check out those times as well. Now, obviously, being a pet-related show, we want to bring this a bit back to pets and mental health and everything like that. So it's been said that about 80% of Australian households own pets. What role, Margaret, would you say that pets play in the lives of the people in the GLBTIQ community?
Sure. Well, look, we keep coming back to this keyword of isolation in what we've been talking about so far, and it comes back to then, if you have someone or a puppy dog face or a lovely cat face to come home to, or even if it's just fish, you know, it's something to come home to. It can give people a sense of routine. It, when dealing with depression particularly, it can be difficult to leave the house. So if you've got some dog breath in your face saying, I need to go for a walk now, it's pretty hard to ignore that. So it can play, pet ownership can play a huge role in reducing that sense of isolation, and as well really helping, you know, some of the things that we know help work with people that are experiencing depression.
This was exactly one of the points that came up in a Beyond Blue and Deakin University report called Beyond Blue to Green, and they looked at how people with a serious mental illness living in a community, when they had a pet, they engaged more. Mm. So they actually went out of their house, and it gave them a reason to get up and take the pets out, which is a really good reason to feel better.
So just quickly, how do you feel that the contact with companion animals has a positive impact? Do you see that? Do you hear it from callers? Do they talk about their pets, that sort of stuff? Do you see it through the Switchboard?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Particularly our callers that are ringing to connect in and have a chat with a person. A lot of obviously these people can't spend all day every day talking to Switchboard or to various support lines. So contact with their animals is often what stops them from feeling alone, and they will actually say that, the counsellors have said that's what actually they express during the calls is, oh no, I'll be right when I finish on the call with you because Betsy is here and we're going to have a cup of tea together and then we're going to go to bed. And it's that sense of we rather than I'm all alone and no one really knows that I'm around.
Yeah, and look, it's great to hear that you are actually finding that out and that people do have their pets as a support, which is, you know, obviously what we love as well. Thank you so much. There is so much we could talk about with the Switchboard, but, you know, we were talking to Margaret Cannington from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. More info can be found at www.switchboard.org.au, and thank you to Alan as well for sharing any personal experience. So coming up, we are going to be chatting with Kate and Alan about looking after the mental health of your pets. You're on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed, Joy's very first show about pets. So my name is Kevin.
And I'm Oslam.
And we are joined by our regular guests, Alan and Kate. Guys, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Kev.
Thank you.
Thanks, Oz.
So companion animals are, for many reasons, our closest friends and even family members. There's nothing like returning home after a long day to be greeted by their fantastic energy.
Pets really make a house a home, don't they?
So most pet owners, especially those within the GLBTIQ community, can pinpoint a time in their lives when their furry friend was there for them. So their knack for being good listeners, their uplifting presence, and they can help us through times when we're feeling down.
Pets Allowed. SMS 0427 JOY 949. Pets Allowed on JOY 94.9.
Earlier we heard from Mark Cannington from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard about the role pets play in the lives of people in the GLBTI community.
So now we're going to look at returning the favour and discussing how to keep your pet happy. Now we do need to highlight that this is general advice. If you are concerned at all about your pet, please contact your vet directly. Now, what we're not suggesting, you know, if you're feeling depressed or anxious, to go out and adopt a pet or buy a pet or anything like that. We're not suggesting that. You need to actually think about these things first. You know, you've got to predict the future. We can't predict the future, but you need to sort of a little bit. You need to try as hard as you can. Are you thinking about going away? Are you thinking about going overseas? Are you going to be moving house? You need to think about the effects that these are going to have on your pets. Remember, dogs can live up to 15 years generally, and some cats can even live older than that, I believe. So, you know, think about that. And you also need to be able to think about your daily routine. How can you bring your pet into your daily routine? Now, Kate, what was the biggest commitment you had to look at when adopting all three dogs?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest commitment for me is getting out and walking them every day or twice a day. I actually walk them twice a day every morning. I get up at 5:30 to get that half an hour walk in with them, and then I know that they're going to be settled for the day while I go out to work, and I also walk them before I go to bed again, so they'll settle for the night and they've had their toilet stops and they're happy, and they look forward to it. Like, it's really important. I know when I'm running a bit late, you know, they let me know when it's time for a walk, and it's not just about the exercise, and I think this is helps with the animal's pet mental health and combats boredom. It's about, you know, being stimulated while they're out walking. They love smelling. They're like, what other dog is living on the block, mm-hmm. and as well as socializing with who they meet, and it's also, I find for me, it's great, it's just great to clear my head. I, you know, if it's a cold night or a cold morning, I don't feel like getting out of bed or getting out of my chair to go out, but once I've done it, I think, wow, that was really, really good, and it's really quality time with them. If I take my son, it's quality time with him as well, so I think it's great for us and the dogs.
It's also important to consider where you live, your house, isn't it, Ellen?
Yeah, there's been a real change over the last few decades in the way Australians live. Many less of us have big backyards, and we're moving into apartments, living in the CBD. Especially many GLBTIQ people live in the CBD. Although many people who do live in apartments can successfully own dogs, you have to remember it requires extra commitment, and you should really think what kind of pet is suited to you. If you live in an apartment, you're going to have to take your dog out four or five times a day. You can't really leave them along all day, so there's extra work involved.
And, you know, there's also the financial cost to think about as well. So, Alan, how much would a dog or a cat cost about per year?
We estimate that a dog costs around about $1,800 per year, and a cat probably about $1,200, but that's without any expensive things that might go wrong. You know, if your dog gets out and gets hit by a car, breaks a leg, that can cost thousands. And chronic diseases such as skin disease or diabetes can add up to quite a lot of money over a long period.
So coming up after we hear from Pink with Who Knew, I've got to get these song titles right. We're going to look at how to prevent your pet having problems and how to look at their mental health.
Pets Allowed on JOY 94.9.
You are on Pets Allowed. We are talking about how to keep your pet in good mental health. Now, Alan, what are some of the things that you might see if your pet is getting a bit bored?
There are lots of signs. Barking, whining, dogs that get out a lot, so escaping, and dogs who destroy things are all signs that your dog might be bored. Now, these symptoms can also occur with separation anxiety, which is a much more serious issue and certainly would need veterinary and maybe specialist treatment. Dogs with separation anxiety show signs such as trembling, compulsive behaviour such as licking or tail chasing, or, you know, chewing themselves constantly. So that's just something to watch out for.
And if you do see any of these symptoms, you should definitely go and see a vet. Is that right, Al?
Generally, if you're concerned about your dog, your vet is the first person you should talk to.
That's right. And okay, so if I have a dog and I notice maybe, especially during winter when you sort of feel like, oh, I don't really want to go out, I don't really want to take them for a walk, what are kind of some of the things that you can actually do to help improve their mental health?
Training is a big one. Training, exercise, and mental stimulation are the main keys to preventing them getting bored. You know, a tired dog is a well-behaved dog. The other thing is toys. Give them toys to play with whenever you're not there. And there's no point in leaving the same 30 toys lying in the backyard. What you should do is use 5 or 6 different ones and change them every day. You can get specialized toys such as Kongs, or you can get food balls, which you can put food in, and they're designed so that the dog has to sort of play with them and tease the food out of them throughout the day. Or you can simply just hide food around the yard.
So, Kate, you have 3 dogs. What kind of things do you do with them before you leave to make sure that they're actually, you know, not going to destroy your backyard?
Well, As I said before, I walk them. I walk them every morning so that they're tired and they've had an outing, they've been stimulated. And then sometimes I leave them with a chew, like a hide chew or a dried chicken treat, and they're quite happy with that. I'm fortunate that I've got the 3 because they do keep each other company. That's a plus. But yes, you still have to take steps to make sure that they're not going to be bored and get into mischief.
Yeah, so I mean, I've got 2 dogs as well, so I need to make sure that every day I'm putting something out different. I also tend to try and put them out a little bit before I leave, just so that they get a little bit used to it and not so worked up before I go. I mean, that's probably more to do with a bit of anxiety, isn't it, Alan?
Yes, certainly. With anxiety, what you want to do is train your dog to be calm. So when you arrive home, you want to not really give them any attention until they're nice and settled, and then you reward them for that. And similarly, when you leave, you don't make a whole fuss and song and dance. You just get them settled, give them something that they enjoy, and quietly leave.
So when does most of this kind of stuff actually occur? So if your dog, you know, you leave the house, when will the dog start, you know, digging or pulling apart something? When will they do that?
Generally, it's within the first hour. So if you can keep them occupied for that length of time with a big bone, certainly not a cooked bone ever, but something that will keep them occupied for that first hour, then they'll generally settle down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point there. Please don't feed your dog cooked bones, because they can splinter and it can cause a lot of trouble. Like, you know, it can really hurt, can't it? Yeah.
And there's also that misconception about bringing another pet into the family, Kate. What do people need to think about? I mean, is that a solution?
Look, it can be, but I think it's a solution that you really need to think carefully through. Dogs are pack animals, they're companion animals. They are happy when they've got another dog, or they're happy with you. So another dog can give them that companionship, which can alleviate some boredom and separation anxiety. But it also requires a lot of commitment. And you need to think, do you really want that second dog? It's going to cost you more money because it's double the cost. It's more poo as well to pick up in the backyard and when you're walking. And, you know, walking 2 dogs is quite different to walking just the one. And also, you know, if you're getting 2 together, like 2 puppies, that's probably we advise against that, because training 2 puppies together can be difficult as well. They feed off each other's bad behaviours occasionally.
Now, we have talked a lot about dogs today, but we will be talking about cats in a couple of weeks' time. Remember, if you are concerned, please consult your vet, you know, if you have any queries about your dog or your cat. So coming up next, Alan and I will be looking at the questions that we actually got from last week and tackling some of those. You're on Pets Allowed with Joy 94.9 and the Lost Dogs Home, Joy's first show all about pets. So remember, you can SMS us anytime, 0427 Joy 949, on air at joy.org.au, or give us a call, 1300 Joy 949. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to chat with Alan Bolton to cover our Q&A from last week. So thank you for sending in your questions. We might not be able to get to them straight away while we're on air, but we definitely will get to them over the course of the show. So, you know, throughout the week, we might come back to you at the end and we'll talk about it in the next show. So firstly, we had a couple of questions from last week. First question was, I have a small 4-year-old Silky Cross Australian Terrier. She suffers from high anxiety when I go out walking. She freaks out with other dogs, tail goes down, and sometimes will try and run. I never take her off the lead because of this. It's usually when she hears barking from any loud distance. Alan, is there anything they can do?
I think the first thing they need to do is to get used to training her dog at home and make it fun. So find something that she really, really likes. You probably need something more than the normal treat, so sausage, chicken, ham. And start with the basics. So sit, stay, and it builds the trust and it gives you some control. And it means that your dog knows what you expect of her, so that if you find yourself in that situation, hopefully you can give her a command or ask her to do something. She can respond. And because she knows she's done the right thing, she shouldn't react in such an anxious way.
So that's like looking at it at home, so that they, when you go outside, you make sure that you know that your dog's trusting you, and that if you ask her to sit, she's going to sit and stop doing the behaviour like going after another dog or anything like that.
Exactly. And then the next stage is to practice that, what you've learned at home, outside. So you find a small, quiet, fenced dog park, hopefully with no other dogs there, and you allow her off lead. And because you've done the work at home, you should be able to get her back. You should have control of her. And again, it's building up your trust in her and her trust in you, because dogs pick up on your anxiety. And if you're constantly thinking that, you know, there's a dog over there, or she's going to start barking, or she's going to run away, that anxiety that you feed, that you feel, is transmitted down the lead to your dog. So you feed off each other.
So remember, this is just general advice. So if you do have any specific questions or queries, please contact your vet. Other tips for something like anxiety would maybe be a group training class?
Yep, group training classes are really important. And you may find for the first few classes, you don't actually really get involved. You know, if they don't like other dogs, you sit on the edge and you just reward that good, quiet behavior. And if she starts barking, you move away a little bit, you step back until she's comfortable and relaxed. And again, you do your sit, you do your drop, you do your stay, and keep rewarding the good behavior. And gradually then, the idea is you can move forwards and eventually get her interacting with other dogs.
Now, another question we had, which related to maybe anxiety, is that we had a listener who texted in to say that her baby, so her, you know, her child of non-human birth, actually bites her feet and back until they actually start to bleed.
Skin irritation and self-trauma can be caused by lots of different things, and it's certainly not always, and it's probably usually it isn't anxiety related. I think this listener should take her dog to a vet just to find out what's going on. Dogs who chew through boredom or anxiety will generally pick one or two places and chew these constantly. So it's a bit like people who bite their nails. But if a dog is itching and scratching all over, it's more likely to be due to a primary skin disease. Dogs who chew along their back and tail base, it's almost always flea related, even if you can't see them. So I think this is one that needs to see a vet.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan. If you do have anything you'd like to ask Alan, please get in touch with us via email, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. I'm Kevin. You're here with Ozlem, Kate and Alan on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
It is time for Dog Dates, your ultimate guide to a vet, to add to your pet's social calendar. Grab your pencils. Guys, what's coming up this week?
Oh, it's going to be a busy weekend this weekend. We'll get to that shortly. But next Sunday, Errol Street in North Melbourne will be cordoned off for a whole day of festivities for this year's Spring Fling Street Festival. I knew that I was going to get that mixed up. So the Spring Fling Street Festival, there'll be a bunch of activities there. Kate, we've been involved in this festival for a little while now.
Yeah, it's been going for many years, and Lost Dogs Home generally has always taken part, along with a lot of other organisations. And this year we're actually sponsoring the pet show or the dog show. So we're actually giving away a prize, and that should be a lot of fun. So if anyone's interested in dressing their dog up, there's a lot of different categories. You can do best trick or most looks like you. Get along to the Spring Fling and take part.
Yep, so that's the Spring Fling on Errol Street, North Melbourne, on October 21 between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Now, I think we're also bringing back pet portraits to the Lost Dogs Home. What are pet portraits?
That is coming back this year. Pet portraits is your chance to get that perfect photograph of your pet that you can hang on your wall with pride.
You can also jump in the photo yourself, or you can bring along your children of human birth and they can jump in the photo as well. So
yep, so the lenses will be focused for the in-studio sessions on Saturday, October 27, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. At 13 Gracie Street, North Melbourne.
So you can find more info about that on dogshome.com, and bookings are essential. Now, also, we did talk about these last week. So Sunday, October 14th, National Pet Register will be at three different locations and events. So National Pet Register will be doing microchipping for $25 a pet. Whereabouts are we going to be doing that?
We'll be at the Frankston Pet Day Out at Ballon Park between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Companion Animal Microchipping Day at the Ivanhoe Town Hall Car Park at 275 Upper Heidelberg Road, Ivanhoe, between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.
And Dog in Dogtown between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Commonwealth Reserve, Nelson Place, Williamstown.
Okay, so bookings are essential for all of you wanting to microchip your pet. You do need to do that by 5 p.m. today. So either call the National Pet Register on 1300 734 738, or visit petregister.com.au/events. If you have a community event you'd like to add to Dog Dates, it might be, you know, dog socialising or walking group or an event or something that you're holding, please send us an email, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Please include the event date, location, a brief description of the event and your contact details. Now, you can find out more info on Pets Allowed on our Joy program page, which is at joy.org.au.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now it is time for a little bit of feedback. So we did actually receive an email in with a bit of a question. Oz, did you want to read that?
We received an email and it's as follows. I'm looking forward to tuning into this program for the first time, so that's thank you for listening. My little dog died suddenly nearly 18 months ago and have yet to get another one. I am suffering anxiety and depression and keep talking myself out of getting another dog, but because I'm worried of the effect my anxiety and depression will have on the pooch. Can you offer a comment or advice on this?
Alan, we should throw this one over to you just briefly. What do you think?
I think dogs do pick up on anxiety, but I think if you're calm and consistent and kind, dogs really want to support you and they really want to be with you, and so they'll help you get out and about. So you just need to be strong together.
Yeah, and please make sure, you know, if you do have any issues with depression or anxiety or anything like that, to contact something like Lifeline or the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. Oz, do you have those numbers handy?
I will be announcing them shortly.
Oh, excellent. We will be talking about those in just a moment. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This week's Pet of the Week.
You're on Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Each week we're going to put a dog or a cat in the limelight for our Pet of the Week segment. Kate, who do we have this week?
This week we have a former tomcat called Toby. Toby's a two-year-old ginger boy who came into the home. Like many of the cats that come to us, or especially the male cats, he was undersexed. But he's very warm, affectionate and easygoing cat. He loves lots of patches. He loves actually pats and scratches behind the ear, and he's a bit of a smoocher. He also doesn't mind, you know, curling up in a quiet, warm spot and going to sleep. He'd be best suited to a home probably without other cats and maybe without children or without adult children. He's up for adoption and now at the Lost Dogs Home's North Melbourne shelter. And as mentioned before, he's been de-sexed, vaccinated, he's wormed, everything's up to date. He's had a full health check, a temperament check, and he'll be ideal for someone, we're sure.
So if you think that this fine fella Toby could be the match for you, he's a gorgeous little ginger cat and he just loves being patted. He's a big boy. So jot down his ID number. It is 921511. 921511. So if you missed Toby's ID number or you just want further information on how to adopt him, check out our program page on the Joy website, joy.org.au, or contact our North Melbourne shelter on 03 9329 2755. And I just saw we got a message in from Betty again. Thank you so much for listening, Betty. I bet she's listening with Jordan as well.
Yeah, last week they were going out for a walk, so it's good to see that they're exercising out there.
So thank you very much for tuning in to Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Oslam.
And also thank you to Margaret Cannington from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, and of course Kate and Alan for joining us in the studio today.
If you think you may need to speak with someone, please call Lifeline, the 24-hour crisis support service, on 1311 14 1311 14. If you think you have a medical emergency, please contact your GP or call 000. For more information on depression and anxiety and how to tackle it, call Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36.
So Alan, what are we going to look at next week?
Next week we'll be looking at common problems with older dogs and what you should look out for.
So join us from noon on Friday when we'll kick off our first part on responsible pet ownership and look at dogs. Check out our program page on joy.org.au to connect with us via social media, or email us lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Stay tuned for Afternoon Joy with Sammy for Joy's special mix of music from around the world. You've been on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.